Welcome to Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, the AARPG's new actual play series using the Dragonbane RPG by Free League Publishing. I'm Nathan, your host, co-GM, and I'll also be playing Brains, the idiot Wolfkin thief. Let's meet my friends and fellow cast members.
I'm Malcolm, your co-GM, and I'll also be playing Corinne Rinesmith, the judgy halfling bard.
Hi, I'm Tyr, and I'll be playing Dane Ringson, a human scatterbrain scholar.
I'm Chris, and I'm playing Sigyn, elfin huntress.
Hey all, this is Anthony, and I play Kurgan, and he wants to remind you...
You should go and get stuffed!
Hello everyone, this is Sean. Now we're playing Baylor Banefire, Dwarf Artisan Specialist.
I'm Tim, AARPG's latest temporary Double Seeker probationary player. I play Quiverwing, the enchanting mallard whose spellbinding plumage shivers like distant lightning on a moonlit night.
Together, we'll explore ancient secrets of a long-forgotten empire, facing challenges and forging our destiny in a world where every castle, cave, and crypt holds the echoes of a bygone era. Get ready for an epic journey filled with laughter, suspense, and unforgettable moments in the Misty Vale.
All right, you ready?
Absolutely not, because I do not recall what we were doing. But let's go ahead and get started and fall and dive into Dragonbane.
We're playing a game, guys. Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Roleplaying Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan. I'm your host tonight, but I am not your GM. Malcolm's your GM. This is episode 6 of our Dragonbane game. So come join Sigyn, Corinne, Dane, Corgan, Bale. Bale Banefire is not here. Quiverwing isn't here. And Brains.
That's me. I'm missing quite a
who
number of
my, maybe here, but really isn't.
Yeah.
He's here, but not really all there. So, Malcolm, I'm going to pass things over to you. But since it's probably been a while since Tony's been here, it'd probably be good to do a little quick character intro for everybody. Malcolm, over to you.
Okay. Let's go with character intros. We'll skip the current day. Let's start off with you, Tyr. Let's go with your character first.
Hi, I'm Tyr, and I am playing Dane Ringson, a somewhat absent-minded scholar character who is enjoying the party, but not the situation we are currently in.
Hi, Chris.
I'm playing Sigyn Uatavanvartia, the elf huntress, who is also not too crazy about where we find ourselves with everybody touching things they shouldn't and angering spirits.
Not my fault.
Koopo, let's go ahead and dive into that one. Since you're clueless, and I'll just fill you in a second.
I'm Corgan Stonehammer. I'm a dwarf and...
Halfling. Just trying to help you.
Clearly, I'm a halfling, and I guess I like to mix it up a bit. So, but I'm a bit inexperienced, but I'm here to help.
I'm calling him a horfling.
Would that be just a horf? Nathan.
I'm so glad Corgan's here. He's my best friend. Hello, I'm Brains. I'm a wolfkin, a thief. And these guys are super surprised that I actually have skills, and I don't quite understand why they were surprised that I can do things.
Just because we haven't seen any of them yet.
Anyway.
What are the skills?
I'm done. And accompanying them tonight, I will be having my character, which is Karin Rinesmith, who is a halfling bard who will be accompanying the party and currently is holding the only source of light that is contained. When we last left our players, and more importantly, our characters, they had chosen to investigate the Riddermount. They had followed the rumor that said, on the side of the Iron Forest, there is an unholy place with a huge stone rising into the sky, the Riddermount, it is called. named after the Dark Knight, who was chained by the gods.
Batman?
When the world was young. They say that he was buried alive, and it is in that mound, along with his family, his servants, and all his riches. That was one rumor they heard, but they had also been hired by a particular group to find another missing piece of the statue of a great dragon emperor, Aridain. Hopefully they can be found in that crypt. They simply dismissed it as being one of his knight's crypts and nothing more than that. Upon arriving, there had been some evidence that they weren't the only ones here searching. Goblins, having left evidence by their footprints and excrement, apparently had already entered the mound ahead of them. Searching several rooms, they found both ransacked sarcophagi as well as the brutalized bodies of goblins that had made an unfortunate encounter. They did happen to also find one alive, hiding in the crypt among the bones and remains of possibly the servants of this mysterious knight. And then eventually find themselves entering a chamber where there sat a lady. Well, a desiccated corpse would be more appropriate at first. A clawed hand clutching a morning star, I believe, and wearing golden chainmail. As he drew closer, she was supplanted by a glowing figure of a woman dressed in glowing and silver and gold chainmail, who floated above them and spoke the ancient tongue, talking of a dragon knight and her service to Aridain and being a wielder of Fiend Crusher, and that they must depart and do nothing more here. But of course, they were here on a mission. They had a destiny to fulfill. Doors needed to be opened, and weapons of magic power were touched. And in that last moment, her beautiful and sublime face transformed into a death mask, her eyes falling away into pits of the void. And she raised her ghostly visage in terror and in fierce, retributive anger, screaming in the ancient tongue, "I am the wielder of the Fiend Crusher. I now crush you." And we were going to roll initiative. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. This is Dragonbane. We are now going to draw initiative. So, since we're not all together, I will simply just shuffle the cards and randomly pick them.
I mean, that's going to foil the plan of Kubo having those cards in his pants, but...
This will stop the usual... Wait, dagnabbit!
He always has cards in his pants.
Always. And we have the initiative cards. Okay. So, who would like to draw the first one?
I say assign them randomly. Just go with it.
Okay. Nathan.
Okay.
Five. Tyr. 7. Chris. 3. Kupo. 6. Corinne. 1. And for the ghostly lady. 2 and 4.
Ooh, shells.
What's the ghostly lady's name?
She has not told you her name.
Oh, I know her name already.
Oh, she says that she is the wielder of Fiend Crusher and servant of Aridain.
I think I relayed that she did. Part back to everyone.
Yes, and before, her struggle.
Yeah, before Brains grabbed the hammer.
Yes, and the struggle that has been between corruption and the cleansing fire. As far as the description of the room, as I said before, I'll just sort of go over that just so you have an idea of what's in here. Basically, the room is, you know, the same room you guys saw through the Procolluses before. It has, you know, at this point, one burning torch on the wall. I believe that someone retrieved the other torch.
Yeah, Quiverwing has the other torch.
Quiverwing has the other torch. And behind her, she's sitting at... her corpse was sitting at a table. It still effectively is, or at least was, sitting at a table. And behind her was a iron-fitted oak door with a sort of ancient symbol. And the symbol, I believe, that Dane, you had seen to be another sigil of the of the Dragon Emperor.
Yeah, it was a stylized crown.
Quiverwing had informed you that the torches did indeed burn with a magic fire, and that was pretty evident, some of the blue sparks within it, but they still were hot. They still was radiating heat, as far as you know. I don't think anyone set anything on fire yet, but it's
okay. Well, I put my hand next to it to feel the heat to make sure that it was real.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. That's the basics of what the room looks like. I would say it's the room is a rectangle, about 8 meters by 8 by 12 meters as far as the room size, with the oaken door behind you in the center of the northern wall, a portcullis on the east, west, and south wall. You do know the one on the east exit of the wall is the one you guys came through. The western one was corroded and you couldn't get through, as well as the one on the south. So those are, though that you can see through them, they appear, as far as time you guys tried them, the locks as well as the overall joints of the mechanisms were pretty much corroded to the point of being immovable. It would take physical force or some powerful magic to open said doors without assistance.
Now, the goblin that we had with us, he took off. That's what I meant. Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Quiverwing took off as soon as she started speaking as a ghost form, and Quiverwing went to go grab him. So he left the room to go fight him before she erupts into becoming this horrible visage. As I recall, that's what we'll do for now as far as mechanically.
Okay.
So they'll be able to enter the fray at a later initiative. Now, there are certain things you can do as far as your initiative numbers. They can be traded. You can choose to switch them. And you can even, if you want to switch them, you can try to elect to switch them even with the monster itself or the creature. I don't know if anyone wants to go first.
Do we notice any improvised weaponry around the room?
Yes, in addition, there are some sort of like improvised weapons that could be utilized in the room. In this particular case, there's only really two. There is a puddle of water, but the ghost does not appear to be necessarily touching the floor. And there is, of course, the torch on the wall.
Okay.
So we're in initiative now. You've drawn
your initiatives.
Okay.
If you'd like, we can go ahead and get started, unless you guys have a choice you want to switch and move. As far as, let me try and see if there's a, I'm trying to think if we can, typical actions. Obviously there's movement, which would be considered dash, a melee attack, range attack, you can parry or dodge. I understand you usually have one action per combat round, okay? Unless you are some sort of creature being of some sort. You can pick up an item, equip yourself or unequip an item, provide first aid, rally a companion who is... And rally usually is done when a companion is at zero hit points. Break down or pick a lock, break down a door, use an item, activate an ability. In the case of the spellcaster, that'd be like casting a spell. Doing a help maneuver, which you help another character, give them a boon on their roll, if you can. Logically make sense to me as far as to do that. And you can a round of rest, which means you do nothing that particular round and just recover willpower. Rounds, as far as you understand, run about a 10-second duration as far as what they are in the real world. Okay?
Okay. I charge thermonuclear weapon.
Excellent. Well, we'll do that on your turn. Do you know what your initiative card is again?
I do.
6.
Okay. So on initiative one, Corinne will spend... willpower points in order to use her musical ability to give a bane. It was actually, maybe I'll use to give a boon. We'll go over that. A boon to the party is what she's hoping to do with her musical ability.
I hope so too.
Not a bane. So basically, she will pull out her lute and put the lantern down and began singing as she moves slowly to the corner in order to basically be able to give all of her allies within 10 meters of her a boon on their rolls. And that's what she'll be doing for this initiative. So now let's just see if she can pull that off. Yes. So, considering the size of the room and the number of you, I would suspect that most of you, I would say all of you, are within range of the music.
What kind of song is it? Ska or?
It is not a ska. That is not something she does.
Light jazz?
No, more. Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
Karen has chosen a sort of boastering sort of fight song to inspire and to rally without you guys falling necessarily. You to the sticking point, I guess. But something rousing and uplifting for the party.
So not a dirge.
Not a dirge. Something that talks about bringing light and something. Not yet. But yes, that's what she sings. And so that means that Olivia will get, for this round, a boon on your rolls. Okay?
Is it just this round? Is it evaporate next round?
She's going to have the cheat key spinning. Yeah, I think it's just this round, if I remember correctly. Musician, the effect lasts until your turn next round. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So that is what she will do.
Great.
That is quickly followed by the actions of the lady.
Dun dun.
And we will roll to see what action will be.
She gives up.
And she, what? She draws herself up before Stiggy.
But I didn't touch the thing. He touched the thing.
She towers over you, looking down with her cold pit that once were eyes, staring directly into her soul with her dead, vacuous orbs. You see your life there pass before you, as long as it has been, all through your time in the forest and beyond, pass through their eyes. But it has been distorted into a tormented and grotesque vision of all the friends and even some of the foes that have passed since you have been here on this world.
Oh, Jersey City.
The victim. You become scared.
Ooh.
And you get a bane on your wheel roll.
Ouch.
You suffer a fit attack, and we'll go to the results of that real quick as far as how you must counter that, or if there is any counter. This is one thing I wanted to sort of, like, it's very interesting about Dragonbane is how their monsters function, but you'll get the hang of it. If I can.
Or you'll die. Page.
Yeah.
Or you will die. No, shoot, it didn't want to happen, so. So we'll just roll a 1d8. I guess I can roll it, or if you want to, you can roll it. It's fine.
Roll 1d8.
Mm-hmm. This is your fear table effect.
I got a 3.
Okay.
Well, doesn't she have to make a fear save first? Yeah, you're right.
You do
first?
Have to make a fear roll. So make a will roll at it's going to be, obviously, as I said before, it's going to be at a bane. But because you have already a boon to all your rolls, it's just a standard roll because Corinne is in.
I got a 9.
Is that under your will?
That is under my will by a lot.
Oh, good. Then you are able to resist and not fall into despair, but you are currently, I think it says, under the effect of being feared.
Yeah.
So that is still the condition that you have, though. Okay.
Gotcha.
Right.
I am marked.
You can just mark that. Scared. Sorry, not feared. Scared.
Yep.
And you mark that under your wisdom box.
Yep.
Okay. All right. That is her attack, too.
I'm number 3.
Oh.
Can I use my myths and legends to determine whether or not any of the weapons I have might be effective against a spirit?
Yes. You make that roll.
You got it. That's, is this under a boon or
is this for the entire round? Yes, right? Those will be a boon. Yeah.
Thank God, because the first roll missed horribly. The second roll was a 4. So I made that one.
Although you may not have encountered ghosts before or such spirits as this, and you know, you have been told, and you know several legends, that mortal weapons will have no effect upon them. These are immaterial beings. They are immune to them and ignore their overall bite of steel, be it or silver. But magic weapons do have an effect. Magic itself does, as far as being able to trouble them, as well as fire.
Ooh, fire.
So, in my move then, I will dive. Go ahead.
You're gonna, and you also know that, you know, even though some ghosts have been physically dissipated by fire or magic, they'll return until their task is satisfied, though.
But go on. Tactics are perfectly good then. Okay. So her corpse is still sitting at the table holding the weapon, or is the ghost now holding the material weapon?
I can't remember who grabbed the material weapon. Who grabbed for it?
Brains.
I did. Brains.
Brains is holding the material weapon, I believe.
So yeah, so then she's got a spectral version of it?
Yeah, hers is a spectral version.
Then I will dive for the torch.
Okay.
That's probably across the room from where I am, so I will spend my time going to that.
Yes. So what you're going to do, I mean, because you can only do an action, you made your skill roll, so next you'll be just dashing for the...
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And that was 3. She goes on 4. So, seeing those moving around her, people flying and running to get torches, grabbing, you know, her mace, her jaw sort of drops far too wide and far too open, and she screams a horrible, horrible, chilling scream that seems to freeze the very soul of everyone within 10 meters. Mm. So you suffer a fear attack. If everyone can give me a will roll. Because you have already been given the death stare, I'm afraid, Siggy, you'll be making this will roll standard as opposed to at a boon.
The rest of us make it at boons, though.
Yeah. Correct. Because
I still made it. Got exactly the same roll, 9.
I got a 12 and mine is 14.
Thank goodness I made it at a boon. I have a 12 and I rolled an 11, so...
And what about
I?
Yeah, he's.
What about Baylor?
Tony, you're rolling 2d20 and you're trying to get under your. Roll low, so under your will.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Corgan.
Okay. And I'm trying to get under.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, 1 second.
Roll low.
My will seems to be a 16.
Okay. Yeah. So
and good I got will. A 13.
Then you too, like the rest of your party here, is able to resist the bone-chilling scream given off by the disquieted spirit. She rages.
One thing I don't really know, I am not trained in... Well, I guess I have hammers, but is that what it'd be? Would it be a hammer?
Yeah, you would just use hammer.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to take this thing, her weapon, and try and whack her with it.
What is your strength?
My strength is 13.
Okay. Thing is, you are able to wield it.
Oh, good. Now, I suck at hammers, but it's in my hand, so I'm going to try to use it.
Plus the boon.
Yeah, the boon, but yeah.
Are you the god of hammers?
No. No and no. No, I try to lunge at her with it, and I'm just not used to the weight of this thing, and I whiff.
Yes, being you swing at her, but unfortunately, you do not connect with the small warhammer. Who's next?
I think it's me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to use my crossbow and shoot her in the face.
Okay.
Now, what I don't know mechanically is how many bolts do I have and how are we working?
We had 12 bolts to start with.
Okay. And so rolling, I have a 14 for crossbow. So
under is better. Enter is the only way to succeed.
And it's 220s.
No, yes, 220s at this current time because you have it at a boon.
Okay, let's do it. Oh, Nelly! I got an 8.
Okay.
Everyone pay attention to what Kupo's cat's doing on the chair behind Kupo.
I don't want to do that.
Well, she was cleaning a very private part. That tells you what she feels about this podcast.
Yeah.
That's what we all feel.
Free input. You fire your boat true and sure. It sails right through what would have been her neck, passing through her like she's a gossamer cloud of iridescent mist. And you hear it clatter somewhere in the distance behind her.
Do you mind if I go back and get that? Those are very expensive. And,
well, they are, but she doesn't seem like she's listening. She keeps shouting in the old tongue, but you do not understand. But you do understand me. You don't mean understand the words, but you understand the pronunciation. Like, no, I don't care. I'm going to kill you.
It's all in how she says it.
Yeah, it's all in how she says it.
I am on 7.
What will you do now?
So, Dane knows what she's screaming.
Yes.
I imagine it's quite... It's not... We don't need to translate it.
Probably not.
Dane would like to know, if he recalls from any of his myths and legends, if guardian spirits like this are tied to a place, and if so, by what? Maybe the body? Or an item? Or something like that?
I mean, what is your myths and legends?
It's at 13.
Okay. Basically, as far as what you know, you can, if you want, you can give me a roll. If you want the best roll, yeah, that's fine. You.
Okay. I mean, I have a boon, right? So,
yeah, you do have a boon.
First one already succeeds. Second one, same number, definitely succeeds. Six on a 13.
Okay. So, you do know that as far as guardian spirits, it depends on the nature of what they're bound to do. Some are bound physically by some item or some object to help them recoalesce to a certain period or place. Others are bound by a duty or curse or quest laid upon them. Like, they can be like, it is your duty to guard this thing until the end of time or until such and such rises again. Other things is they are tied to a tragedy that has happened in a place, and if someone finds a certain thing or helps them find some rest, they can be released. It's a matter of finding out what it is for a particular spirit. But it's one thing that is very interesting is that almost creatures cannot be dealt with in some way. You do know that ghosts can be reasoned with if you can find some place of reason. If you have not crossed a line or broken something or gone a great violation of their particular edict, for instance, you know, that can be useful. This may not work here, but you're more than willing, but you can, of course, try. Okay. Like, for instance, even there may be something you could say that does pertain to her particular calling and mission, which is what she's here to protect and deal with.
Yeah. It was more is the spirit tied to the corpse?
Possibly. It's okay. Possible, but the thing is, like, you've already seen that, you know, like, for instance, that the brain is snatched up the Warhammer. That, you know, she even uses a part of her title, which she has not used to swing at anybody in her ghostly form as of yet, you know, which basically sort of, you know, broke a finger or two doing that. So it could be that item, but you don't really know. But it doesn't okay. seem, based on her words that you were hearing, it appears to be a duty that holds her here.
Okay.
And her fight against chaos serving the cleansing flame.
Duty.
So then what Dane is going to do on his turn is he is going to yell out, is like, Baylor, try the torch on the corpse. And he is, and Dane is going to run to the door, to the oaken door.
All right. I forgot that Bailey was here. Yes, he is.
And he's holding a torch. So.
He's holding a torch. So. Yes.
Are you ready to rock? More importantly, are you ready to roll? Welcome to No Quest for the Wicked, an award-winning sci-fi actual play podcast using Paizo's space opera system, Starfinder. Stow away with us every other Wednesday as four best friends explore an entirely homebrew setting in a planet-hopping adventure that plunges the crew of the Maverick into a political and cosmic conspiracy that doesn't just put their lives at risk, but the system and even the whole universe. Join Merrick, the four-armed warrior in self-imposed exile as he breaks tradition and forges his own path with a passion hotter than the desert sun. Durin, a former assassin running from his dark past, hoping to make a new life for himself. And Cody, an android with memory problems, an obsession with the 80s, and a desperate need to find the boy who made him. New episodes every Wednesday on NoQuestCast.com or your favorite podcasting app.
All right. So, for his action, Baylor will try and swing at the goose with a torch.
Well, I said the corpse.
The corpse? Oh, okay. He will hit the corpse with the torch.
Okay.
And it immediately catches, like, is, you know, the body's burning. The mummified corpse begins burning versus a sort of torn to flame. This does not seem to, I mean, this, you can see that the actual hair on the ghost also begins to sort of move upward like it's being blown by the wind, but it's not, you know, that's the only indication there's some connection between her and the corpse. There's no fire that springs upon it, but there is a rage that seems to grow in there.
I can see so much better now, thank you.
It was worth a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's about it.
Okay, and then, like I said, Dane is moving towards the oaken door.
Towards the oaken door.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think that concludes the round for everyone here.
Yep.
So we will begin initiative again.
All right. Pull me a card, sir.
I'm working on.
Shuffle them first.
Can you draw me 50?
No one can read into a 3-deck shoot.
All right.
Jesus.
Hey, Wapner. Then, since you're so eager.
Five again. I don't think you shuffled.
You were six last time.
That's here. Fine. Eight. Oh, I'm sorry.
Whoever gets this, fuck you.
We'll just say Karen. You're in. Chris.
Seven.
Kupo. Okay. Four.
All right.
Uh-oh.
The ghost has a two.
Two?
And a six.
Okay. All right. So one
now,
before me.
Like I said before, you can switch or trade or try and or trade initiative with another person in the combat. That includes the opponent as well.
So do they have to be willing to trade?
No.
Is that your action?
I don't really know.
That'd be kind of weird if it were, because as far as if
I think it's just, I don't think it's your action, but Nathan, look it up.
Oh, that was like a maneuver.
This is your turn
something.
To look up stuff, YMG.
I'm looking.
Because me personally, I'd want Corinne to take that too and give us all a boon again.
Well, she would still be giving the boon
until her turn.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can only swap with someone later than you, so you can wait.
Okay.
So on your turn in the round, you can choose to wait. This means that you swap initiative cards, and therefore places in the initiative order with another creature whose turn comes after yours. You can swap cards with other player characters as well as NPCs, and they cannot refuse to trade. However, you cannot swap initiative cards with anybody who has already had their turn or who themselves chose to wait earlier in the round.
Okay.
Okay. But she's going first, right?
Yeah, she's going first. She's going on 2 and 6.
Yeah.
So that means...
I'm on 5.
So for her first action, the lady wielding the ghostly fiend crusher. I will do this randomly. Brain is standing there before you, wielding, holding her warhammer. She reaches out and her hand penetrates right through your chest. Ooh. Reaching and grabbing for your heart.
I do not consent.
The chill cold fills your very chest and tendrils of fingers begin closing on your heart. It slowly beats slower and slower. And you take
don't like the sound of that at all.
Oh god.
18 points of damage.
Holy shit.
And you become scared as a condition.
<Yeah. laughs> possibly becomes dead.
You could possibly become dead.
Okay, so I have 12 hit points.
Okay, so you're reduced automatically to 0. There's no negative in Dragon Bane.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and read over the rules about being reduced to 0.
And I'm scared.
It is not instant death. That would actually, for you, take, 24 points. Instantly kill you. So you can go ahead and review the rules for being at 0. But yes, he's like, and you see the sort of chill and ice sort of, as she withdraws her hand, almost sort of forearm over his chest as he slumps to the ground. And it's she wheels like towards her next victim.
Ghost.
Tim is definitely going to be like, "How you like me now?"
So I thump onto the floor.
So 4. Who's 4?
4.
Was that you?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay, yes.
So,
you saw your crossbow had absolutely no effect.
Yes, it. I'm observing the idea of trying to burn a corpse. Or is there anything else that I can see that I can smash?
You can smash? Well, there's a table she's sitting at. There's her corpse, which is currently on fire. And there is a door, but that would take some strength. Yes, you can probably smash that. It looks bound in iron. That's it. And currently right now, I believe the dwarf, Balor Banefire, is using a common torch on the body. Siggy has dashed and snatched up my magic torch. It's currently in her hand. As far as things on fire, there is a lantern sitting in front of Corinne. She's put it down so she can play her instrument, so she is not wielding that, but it could possibly be smashed against something if you're looking for things to burn. As far as things to break, that is the currently on flaming corpse, the chair she's sitting in, the table she's at, and the door that sits behind her.
The table that she's at, is there anything, do I see runes, or is there anything special about it?
No, it appears to be a very plain table, though obviously it must be well built to have survived so long. But you do remember Quiverwing having said something about things being preserved here longer than they should be, possibly due to alchemy or something.
I think I might use my turn to evade
this round. Okay.
I should probably run away.
Decision. Yes.
Let's see. How do I do? I get... Oh, thank God. I get a 9 out of 14. Under 14. I got a 9.
Well, I think that's just a reaction, though. So you don't have to evade unless...
You don't have to evade until she actually attacks you. Ah. You're just ready and poised to evade.
Yeah.
Bravely.
Yes. Bravely evade. And that was 4?
4.
Now we're on to 5. Yeah.
Sorry. Which is my role. So I am going to make my death save.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to rally myself to...
I don't know if you can rally yourself.
Yeah, you can rally yourself, but it's at a bane.
Well, but you do have a boon because it's still not Corinne's turn.
But I already have a bane for being scared, so there's, yeah. So what we'll the?
Well, if you have two banes, then it cancels out her one boon.
So yeah,
she still has one bane.
But I'm gonna try to make my death save first, and so I roll that.
how does that work exactly?
Oh, I will read that out.
For the audience at home, I know.
On your turn, in each subsequent round, you must make a death roll, a roll against your con. The death roll cannot be pushed if that optional roll is used. Record the results of your death rolls in your character sheet. After 3 successful death rolls, you recover D6 hit points. After 3 failed death rolls, your player character dies. Rolling a dragon counts as 2 successful death rolls. Rolling a demon counts as 2 failures. If the combat ends, keep counting rounds until all death rolls have been made. So I rolled a 7. Death rolls
is basically versus your constitution?
Yeah. I rolled a 7. I have a 12 con, so I'm going to mark that in the success column. And I'm going to try and rally myself with a willpower roll at a bane. Target 14, and I rolled a 4 and a 6. So,
you're up.
Yeah, I ain't hear no bell.
the iciness on his chest still remains.
Yeah.
So does not look very good. He looks pretty bad, actually.
Does that mean you don't have to make death saves anymore?
Oh, no, I still have to make them, yeah.
He's just going with the 0 hit points and going around doing stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, not super smart, but I'm not a super smart guy.
That was 5.
And rallying. I think that counts as okay. That does count as an action. So that's my.
That's your action.
Yeah.
Because the death roll does not count as an action to do.
Right.
All right. And he creepily bounces right back up. and then she goes. Lady once more strikes out.
Hopefully, someone else.
So, Kupo.
Yes.
Is he in the seat? Is he not there?
He's there. He's okay. He's still muted.
So, Corgan, as you sit poised and ready, having shot through her and had nothing effect, you're ready. And she lunges towards you. Reaching out. As you've seen her reach out to Brain a couple of minutes ago.
I cover my heart.
That sort of, you know, sort of just like slams her sort of ghostly, you know, hammer down. Springs out from her and strikes you. You can attempt to evade now.
All right. Do I need to roll again?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's always best not to roll until I tire you, but yeah.
This time I do not make it by far.
You are knocked back 4 meters, which is to the wall, and take 5 points of damage from the impact. And you land prone.
Ouch. Thank you.
That is her 6 for 7.
So, my first instinct, I'm not going to grab the torch. I'm going to try and light an arrow, one of the wooden arrows from the torch, and fire it. At the specter.
Okay.
So, let's see. It's bows. That's an 8 of under 16.
That will strike.
Does it seem to have any effect?
I'm trying to figure out. Yes, it does. Roll your... just roll your arrow damage.
D12.
Where is my
plus D4? So 10. 12 points of damage.
Are you serious?
Yeah, my longbow is D12 plus D4.
Oh my god.
Nice.
Unlike the burning of her corpse, which seemed to have no effect on her incorporeal ghostly form, the flaming arrow striking her ghostly body does. It does almost seem to catch a light where her whole body is so this palish blue and dark grays and shadows. It blossoms in sort of a bright light and wettish flame that burns up and across her. She howls and seems to be in some sort of pain, but it echoes through the halls. She does not dissipate. But Mortuling, there is a howl of a deeper resonance that replies somewhere else in the crypt.
I think we made her angrier.
Stop helping.
Hey, it's eight.
That's me. So Dane runs over to the oaken door and observes it to see how it's bound, if there are writing runes, anything he can notice, like how it's locked.
You noticed the symbol on the first time you came in here, obviously. It was a silver inlaid crown showing and depicting the dragon crown of the Dragon Emperor Elendane on the symbol of the door. It's an oak door, it's iron bound, but one thing you definitely notice is that there is no lock. It just appears to be just closed.
And are there hinges?
Oh, there's hinges. Yeah, there's hinges.
So does the door open inwards or outwards?
Or opens outwards.
Outwards.
And you can, you know, if you...
Well, I was going to say spot hidden.
Yeah, you can do a spot hidden roll if you wanted to.
Yeah. I will do a spot hidden.
Seems fair enough to...
Hit that one on the head at 14, and I'll do the other one at 13. Okay, so I passed both ones.
Okay. One, you can tell that the door, obviously the door is not locked, but that it has been opened from the, it's been opened and obviously opened at some point in time, recently. Like, it's not like, you know, it's recently been opened, as the scrape marks and the dust that's been moved shows, but it has been opened, As a matter of fact, I mean, but you can't really see in it. There's nothing particularly attached to the door as far as like any wires or anything that you can see. Just that, and there was, like I said, no lock. Just it was simply closed.
Okay, so none of the runes or the pictures or anything give any message or clue.
Not outside the door, have you? Unless you know, no.
Is there more writing around the door?
No.
Shit. Okay, I imagine that's going to take my turn. So. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
So Corinne will try to maintain her song and succeed and spend more points to continue singing to this time. Yeah, she will continue with the boon for the party.
Okay.
And that is it for all of them on this turn. Okay, is that correct?
Yep.
So initiative again? And like I said before, the improvised weapons, there's a torch still there available, as well as a puddle, which is not really, that's not really, it's just a torch. It's in the room, it's available. All right. Brain, Nathan?
Yeah.
Two.
Ooh.
Nice.
Moving up the chain.
There you go.
All right, Dane, Tier?
Nine.
All right,
taking bookish Ziggy, people.
Chris,
yeah,
eight.
Apparently getting tired.
Corrigan,
yeah.
Ooh,
a lady. We go on six.
Six,
and she would go on ten.
Oh, all right.
And I'll draw another for someone else.
Okay. Shit. All right, Corrigan's up to you.
Right. I grab that fucking torch off the wall and try to hit her in the face with it.
We'll just deal with grabbing the torch.
Well, isn't there like part of the improvised weapon thing? Isn't it? Yeah.
You just grab the torch. You got the torch.
Oh, okay.
That's the turn?
Nope, you can now use it.
Oh, good. Thank just goodness. Run. Oh, good. Yeah. All right, so now, just to be clear, you said I was prone... from my last turn.
Oh, wait, couldn't. That's all right. That's right, you were prone. I'm not sure if it's going to take any action to get up. Because,
now, being all fair.
Oh, Stan, you can drop to the ground or get up as part of your movement. These are free actions that do not affect your movement per se, but can only be done on your turn.
Okay. Yeah, you can move. You can get up and, yeah.
Yeah.
And go grab the torch.
Great. Will, sorry, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
Oh, you can, okay. For this, you can grab the torch. It requires one free hand at least. Because it's an improvised weapon. Improvised this one, the torch, the attack automatically hits
Oh, cool.
You inflict 2d points of damage.
2d what?
Points of damage.
To what type of d?
2d6, I'm sorry.
I forgot. 2d20, 2d12.
My bad. 2d100's worth of damage.
2d6 of fire damage.
Seven.
Plus any, if you have any damage bonus from your strength, add that as well.
Second.
Which if you had a strength of 13, you should.
Yeah, I get an extra D.
All right.
That so a right. Total of...
You get an extra D? God, yes, you do. I feel so completely weak. But it's a D what, though? D6?
D6. It's a D6.
Did we just go over this?
Yes, we did. I'm Mojito.
The damage is 11.
Okay. Much like the other torch, when you strike, it hits home and she erupts in a white flame that seems to consume part of her as her sort of ethereal being. She wails again, screaming in anger as she begins to quickly dissolve. Ooh. And once again, echoing somewhere far in the distance, less not as far as before, but a deeper, more better tone yelled back.
Further away, like in Hoboken.
As if someone or something is digitally also angered by her anguish and is moving ever closer.
Okay, let's go.
There is only one way out, you know that. There is no way out. The door is barred.
So, guys, I believe her corporeal form is somewhere else in the vestige of the mansion. We gotta kill it. Am I close?
No. Bella would say, it's on fire right here. It's sitting at the damn table.
Ooh, I know what I'm doing on my turn.
So, let's see. That was one. Two.
Oh. If I live that long.
Yes, right?
I mean, does she just dissolve?
No, she is still there.
Oh, she's still there. Oh,
she's still there. No, she's not gone yet.
All right, so I'm going to try one more time with the hammer. I still have a boon, right?
Yes.
Okay. Try one more time with the hammer. 6 exactly. Yes, that's what I needed. Okay, great. So how much damage does this thing, or does this thing pass through her, or does it actually hit her?
It actually hits her.
Oh.
Let me see if there's anything else I don't know about this hammer other than its other properties.
The handle is bound in 100 foreskins and...
No.
Halfling foreskins?
No. It doesn't take 100 foreskins to bound a small
one. Only halfling foreskins.
Maybe 100 of your foreskins.
It was cold out that day.
During the harvest, it was cold.
Its name is the Moyo.
So anyway, yes, let me just give you the damage for a small warhammer. A light warhammer, excuse me. It will do 2d6 damage is what a light warhammer. 2d6
and I get d4 for my strength. Mm-hmm. 10.
Okay. You strike with a small warhammer, which by the way is beautifully rendered and a magnificent masterpiece as Baylor said last week, that it was a master craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. It strikes, and it's almost as if her whole body implodes into the... disappears.
Ooh.
And a cold wind fills and blows out the entire room.
I look at the hammer, and I was like... And I look at everybody else around, and I put it in my belt.
Just for everyone else, you do see... That Brain strikes it, and she dissipates, as said. But he does not look good.
Oh, yeah, I need to roll my...
His fur looks ashened. There's still frost upon his chest where a hand reached in, and...
I need to make two death saves. I made one. I need to make another one. Okay, made one, I failed one. So I've...
But
I've
even got- though he teeters with death ever present... The Grey Harvester can be seen almost ghostly behind him. Anyway. Okay, on to three.
Okay,
I guess, right? So we have 8, 9, right?
I'm at 7. No, I'm at 8. You're right. 8. You're right.
Okay. On 7, Quickwing comes running back in the room.
Quiverwing.
Quiverwing comes running back in the room, followed by Grub.
Oh. Snodrizzle?
Chit. Ah, we've got trouble. That's all
he says. Oh, don't worry. I just handled it.
This one's wearing armor and has a mace.
Can you even speak?
No, this is not him.
No. Can brains even speak?
I can speak.
He just looks like...
I can speak.
Death warmed over. Well, not very warm. Death isn't very warm, apparently. I mean, it's death partially nuked 5 seconds. Anyway, that's what he does. Quiverwing and Grub comes rushing back in the room.
Okay, that was 7.
8.
I go retrieve the torch from...
Baylor had a torch, and Quiverwing had a... Quiverwing had the other magical torch.
Quiverwing had the magic torch as he came running back with it.
Yeah, and Corgan grabbed the other torch.
And there's a lantern in the corner where Corinne is playing her instrument.
Well, I go back and I grab that. I say, give me that!
Who are you grabbing? What? From where?
From Corgan.
Oh, yes.
The one I was using it to light my arrows.
All right.
And my turn. Mm-hmm. I am going to spend 3 willpower points and use my heroic ability of intuition.
In what capacity will you be using your intuition, Hammond?
To learn how to open this crypt door.
Oh! I'm not going to make you do that.
Okay.
You figure the way to open the crypt door is to grab the handle and pull.
I just asked you last turn if there was a way to open it.
No, I thought you asked if there was some kind of magic thing. I was like, it was open. It was obviously. I'm sorry.
The way you described it, it was like it's mysteriously opened in the past, and there's no way to open it.
I mean, it had been opened recently in the not too distant past.
I grabbed the fucking handle.
Okay, sorry. Okay,
well, you are an absent-minded researcher.
You're like, oh wait, I could just try pulling again. Sorry, I should have. And there's a handle. Okay, sorry. That's my bad. I just didn't hear you.
That's great.
So there is a handle.
As we've established in Battle Lords, you're not great with doors.
It's true.
Okay.
Yeah, so as a group,
the door swings open. He swings open rather easily, considering his age and so forth. This appears to be some sort of obviously a burial chamber, with torches on the wall and walls in a sort of on the wall stands in the actual chamber itself. And there's a sort of small podium that's set up in there. There is an ornate sarcophagus that is in there, and from floor to ceiling walls are made of a stone brick, unlike the sort of earthen things. And there is a fresco that covers the entire far wall.
Ooh. What is the fresco of?
So the fresco is a dragon mural on the back wall, which shows a knight riding a dragon and wearing the same exact horned helmet and gear that you have seen on the statue. Slightly, I mean, there's some variance you can tell. You're not sure if it's just artist liberty or is it a different knight. You're not certain at this point. But it doesn't depict a dragon being ridden by a knight. So wearing a huge sort of crowned helmet.
Riding a dragon.
And above the fresco, there is an inscription on the wall.
Can I read it?
Sure, give me a...
Languages?
Yes, language.
Okay.
It is partially damaged, but not, you know.
Yes, with the bane, I make it.
Okay. All right. Looking at it, it's hard to translate, but it says something about the Emperor's gift and a holy wrath that will consume all who dare to touch said gifts and that kind of thing.
Okay.
The sarcophagi appears to have been open from the inside by tremendous force. That is, the lid looks cracked and is slightly really off the side almost. There are cobwebs and so forth, but you can tell that apparently whatever's inside or something, you know, something got out of there.
Would there be a small portion of a statue anywhere?
Do you look inside?
Yes.
Looking over and peering into the sarcophagus.
Baylor, bring the torch.
Baylor will bring the torch.
Okay.
There on the bottom of the sarcophagi, you'll see a crown. A gilded crown imbued with subtle craftsmanship, and it seems to almost slightly glow.
Is it the same crown that is in the picture?
No, this one's much smaller. As far as it's not like an ornate crown, it's almost more like a sort of a circlet.
Okay.
That's meant for a man to be wearing. Does not seem to have the same lines as one. But yeah, as you know, but not a helmet, but a crown lying there in the dust.
Any inscriptions on it or anything? Is it just plain?
You can't. I mean, even with the torchlight flickering, you'd probably need to pick it up to examine it.
Very well.
Okay.
Touch it.
Yeah, you're asking the absent-minded professor not to do something. He's not going to... Yeah.
I'll get to you in a second.
Okay.
Quivering will tell you, Siggy, that it's coming. undead thing wearing armor, carrying a heavy mace, moving down. Grub, he's not. He's gonna kill us all. We're going to die again. Nope, you're gonna die. He's at the other Procolus, trying the key and going. It doesn't work from this side either. Oh God! And I just came. Oh, he pees a little, and that's better. He does. You lift the crown out of the sarcophagi. You hear the clicking whirl as you see a small, minute beaten thread attached to it break. Tink! And then a quick grind and the room explodes. Well, not explodes.
Game over! Good night, everyone! Good session!
That's the Gloria!
As
Ye Olde Claymore.
Hardened steel blades fire out in all directions within the room. You can give me an evade roll.
Oh, okay.
For you. everyone who's not in the sarcophagi room.
Not in the sarcophagi room.
Are we still at a boon for this?
Oh, no.
Oh.
I mean.
One!
Ooh.
Wow, what a fucking time. I jump. I leap into the fucking sarcophagi.
Baylor, on the other hand. I don't know what Baylor's.
Just roll it.
Agility is?
He's fine.
I know he has some pretty average stats, so I'm going to think. I think a 9 will make it.
Yeah, I think 9 does make it for him.
I think a 9 does make it for him. I don't think he's great. He's able to flatten himself on the floor as the place. But you escape without being killed.
Hooray!
With a crown in hand.
Meanwhile, what I do is overturn that wooden table against the opening and try and set it on fire.
Okay.
I'm going to make another death save.
Yeah.
Before it made it, so I got 3.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, hooray!
I got 5 hit points back.
So, let's put it this way. You, Siggy, you realize that, yeah, you can set the table on fire, or at least start it. It would go much faster if you had something volatile, much more volatile than just trying to just... And the wood is there and burning, but it's not going as fast.
Perhaps the burning corpse?
There's the burning corpse you could toss down there. Karen...
Her exquisite chainmail.
Will offer you a flask of oil. It's very expensive.
She says... Well, then I'll weed that fucker on there as well. Yeah. Okay.
That'd be great. As you do that, I need a light and just a scout of flame.
Aziz!
And the fire is burning, and in the firelight, you see it coming. down the corridor towards you. Let me get this heavy footsteps.
Hey, we have a guy who does the sound effects.
Yeah, yes. quit it, you fucking hack.
I was like, we have a guy. Striding down the hall. A huge warrior, an antiquated plate mail with a great horned helmet. His open visor reveals a grim skeletal face. He digs a heavy trowel with an awful sound of scraping metal as he drags his warhammer behind him.
The Garçon guy can only get so erect.
I sure? thought he was describing the sound guy.
Rooting mood.
I was not describing the sound guy. This is the weight that is coming for
you. We're gonna die.
This powerful being moves towards you, seeing the fire. He just turns and then goes and disappears into the wall.
Oh, shit. Oh, we're fucked.
We're fucked.
We're fucked.
Moments later, the south portcullis, some feet away, you see him emerge and appear and begin walking towards it.
Mm. Can it move through the iron?
Avoiding the entrance blocked by fire. Which, by the way, I just wanted to point out, is the only portcullis that did work, but is now blocked by a burning table and a corpse and flaming oil. And as he comes to the next portcullis, he just goes right through it. And the actual metal groans as his body passes through it in his armor, and he raises his morning star. He says nothing. He needs to say nothing. As his cold pits of small, unforgiving light move over towards the burning corpse and then scan all the rest of you.
I point to Baylor.
He did it.
And then there's just a slow, low wail that comes from it.
Can I say something?
And the room gets colder. Yes.
So, in the language of the Dragon Empire, which I recall now, I'll say this is the best I can. In the name of Eladane, founder of the Empire, by the power of the Sword of Rurum, Blade of Life, I beg you, grant us safe passage so we may continue to oppose the power of chaos in this world and fight against the powers of the Dark Log Sathmog. And he'll kneel.
Mm. Ooh, you'll kneel. It's a prone target. Excellent. Yep. I mean, yes. Why don't you give me a persuasion roll?
Oh, that would be something that I need skills at.
Oh, well, isn't this your day?
Isn't it my day? Persuasion. So,
if you don't want to try persuasion, you can also try.
Actually, I could, because this is based on
bluffing.
I was going to say, because this, I do have bluffing. I do have bluffing. I was going to spend the 3 willpower points if you wanted persuasion and use adaptive, but.
The thing is, which skill do you think will be really, truly most effective against an undead guardian assigned to protect this place?
He would actually like to use performance.
Okay.
And so I will use, if you allow me, I will spend the 3 willpower points.
I think probably, I'll be honest, probably persuade is what you really need.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'll spend the 3 willpower points to use adaptive so I can have the persuasion skill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yes.
All right. Here we go. 11 instead of 13. Under 13, so I pass.
He halts. He raises, he sort of lowers his morning star a bit. And we'll just stop there for the evening.
Ah! Well done.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well done. That's great.
Hi, this is Matt, the co-host of the Advanced Age Role-Playing Gamers podcast, and you've been listening to our latest actual play, Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, using the Dragonbane TTRPG from Free League Publishing, based on the classic Swedish role-playing game, Drakkar Demoner. If you like what you hear, please follow, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and anywhere else you find podcasts. We also really appreciate feedback and chatting with folks, so feel free to tweet us, comment on our YouTube, or leave us a review so we can reach even more people. You can also visit our website at www.theaarpgs.com, where you can read more about the cast, listen to old episodes, and even shop our store for cool Geek Chic merchandise. This story features Malcolm and Nathan as co-GMs. Malcolm will also be playing the role of Karin, a halfling bard. Nathan will be playing the role of Brains, a wolfkin thief. Our players for this story are Tyr as Dane Ringson, a human scholar. Sean as Baelor Banefire, a dwarven smith. Chris as Sigyn, an elven huntress. Anthony as Corgan Stonehammer, a halfling fighter. And Tim as Quiverring, the Mallard Mage. Character artwork created by Nemesis to Anthony Cupo and friend of the show, Jody P. Schaefer, whose work you may recognize from Metacopolix, Mari Kari, Megas XLR, and MTV's Downtown. Contact him when the time is right. You'll know how and when. Music licensed through Dark Fantasy Studios and SoundCue. Sound effects by Nathan, using Krotos Weaponizer, Studio, and Dehumanizer, using libraries from Boom Library, SoundCue, Krotos, and his own recordings. So thank you again for taking time to sit down with us at our gaming table. And until next time, remember, you're never too old to roll.
So do we have time to make our experience rolls?
I think we do.
Or, Tyr, do you have to go?
I have time.
Okay. You have time? Okay, excellent. All right, so let's just do our advancement.
Should we pause the roll?
No, we can go ahead and record this. And I'll just
this will be recorded, and we can just...
Yeah. Nathan makes these the shorts or something.
These are the after credit scenes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sounds great.
As soon as I find that page again.
I'm looking
39?
To... Oh, yeah, you're at 39.
I just pulled that number out of my ass.
I think that's right.
It's actually 29, but yeah. 29. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, all right. Gentlemen. Any skill that you guys rolled, a demon or a dragon on, make sure that's marked.
I got it.
None of those.
Yeah.
All right, and let's go on for experience. Did you participate in the game session?
Yes.
Okay. Did you explore a new location?
Yes.
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 Well, I didn't.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure we
did. Yeah. Tyr did.
Did you defeat one or more dangerous adversaries?
I certainly did.
I would say everybody, yes. Yes. did you overcome an obstacle without using force?
Yes.
No.
Did you give in to your weakness?
No opportunity to.
I'm going to say no in this one.
Okay. So every question you're able to guess to is a point that can be used to advance a skill. For those skills that you actually rolled a dragon or a demon in, that skill is one of the skills not included in that 4. It also can be raised.
Okay.
The roll is very simple. Unlike the regular mechanic of Dragonbane, you must roll above the current skill level you have and forge for to advance.
All right.
With a maximum of being 18, the highest you can go, which I don't think we're at that point to worry about that yet.
Yeah.
No.
I'm ready.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to roll my dragon roll, which was an evade. So It's a 14 and a roll of 13. So no. I am going to try awareness. I succeed in that. I rolled a 15 and my skill was at 13. So that advances. I'm going to try myths and legends. Once again, that's at a 13 and a roll of 12. One, two, spot hidden. That's at a 14 and a roll of 9. And my last one will be bows. I roll a 1. When I need it to, it doesn't. But that's okay. I'm happy I got something. Yeah.
All right, who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
All right.
I'm going to roll for my awareness, which is an 11. And I rolled a 6, so that's no good. And next, I'm going to roll my evade, which is a 9. And I got a 15.
Yay!
Oh, there you go.
Yes. Progress.
All right.
That's it for me. Yeah.
Okay. Tony, you want to go?
Okay, Nathan.
All right. So I'm going to do, let's see. So I'm going to do, well, I don't know, where'd my sneaking go? Did I have that? Sorry. I feel like I'm missing something here. I think I'm working off an older character sheet.
With much, much lower numbers.
Well, I'm just missing numbers.
Missing numbers.
Oh, there it is. Oh, okay. So, sorry. It's the PDF thing. It wasn't working right. It only showed half. All right. So I'm going to do, since I swung the hammer, I'm going to go with hammers for my first one. My skill's at 6. I rolled a 12, so that'll go up 1. And then I'm going to roll. I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for evade. This is going to be a long shot here. I've got a 14 in already.
All right.
And rolled a 19.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a good pull. All right.
I'm going to also go for evade at a 14, and I rolled a 3, so that was not a success. Mm. And I'm going to go for, brawling, which was, I think that's a 10. So that was a failure also. So I'm staying where I am.
Womp womp. It's kind of neat to be able to have, at least have the opportunity to go up every every game.
Yeah.
So you,
yeah.
Yeah, and also you could react to the previous game, like what would have helped you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome.
Good time. Malcolm, thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome, guys.
All right.